This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Last night, if you joined us for this program, you heard that we talked to kids about what's on their minds. And a lot of what was on their minds had to do with missing school, missing friends, and worrying about summer. Well, tonight, as the school year is coming to a close, we thought we'd like to hear from teachers. Millions of educators are trying to wrap up a second and, in some cases, a third month of distance learning without a lot of clarity on when or how they'll go back to school. So to talk about all that, we've got two of those educators on the line with us now. Anna Jones is a special ed teacher here in Washington, D.C. What do your students call you? Do they call you Miss Anna or Miss Jones?
They do. They call me Miss Anna, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll call you Miss Anna, too, because I know that you're missing them. And yeah. Wayne Stewart is a superintendent of a small rural school district in Howell County, Missouri. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Mr. Stewart?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Stewart, welcome to you as well. Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate the invitation.
Well, I'm going to start by asking each of you, how has your school tried to reach students while in-person learning hasn't been possible? And Miss Anna, we'll start with you.
So my school primarily is keeping in touch using meeting over Zoom. I also try and keep up with parents for email and phone, depending on what they prefer. And I know the general education teachers are using other like digital portfolio programs.
And what's that been like for you?
I'm mostly just trying, what's up in life in general?
No, like what's that been like with you trying to connect with the students that way? Because I mean, part of being a special ed teacher, right, is a lot of in-person personal attention. Isn't that part of what it calls for?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's been really challenging to kind of keep my students engaged over a webcam, kind of. It's a very abstract sort of thing for them to engage with. I've also felt like it's been hard to kind of design lessons that are going to be accessible to them without the kinds of manipulatives and hands-on learning that they're used to.
And what about you, Superintendent Stewart? What has it been like for you?
It has been very difficult for us to stay engaged with our students because of the fact that we just have such a lack of infrastructure in the South Central Ozarks, where my school district is. We have appreciably fewer than 50% of our kids who have high-speed internet access at home, and probably a full quarter of students live in these hills and hollers and don't even have cell phone connectability at home, so we can't do hotspots. But we've been doing what we can with the resources that we have. Our teachers, I think, have been doing a good job of trying to deal with the social-emotional needs of our kids, if nothing else, just calling them on the telephone and, you know, talking to them a couple of times a week and seeing how life's going for them. And for those who, you know, who do have internet accessibility, we're doing our best to continue the education process with them. We've been doing hard copy packets for those that we could make the connections to either get them to come to school and pick them up or have us run them out and drop them off at their homes. But it's been, just suffice it to say, it's been a really hard thing, and it's shown us that there's just no good substitute for face-to-face interaction and teaching with kids and teachers at school.
Hmm. We're going to hear from another teacher now. This is Julie St. Marie, who teaches preschool in Jay, Vermont, and she's been reminding parents that their kids might regress because this is such a stressful time. Here's what she had to say.
Maybe they aren't toilet trained like they used to, or perhaps they're not sleeping through the night like they used to, because any time that routines change or stress comes about in their life, their brains are trying to process that. And we're seeing that across the board with all children of all ages are going to regress, not just academically, but socially and emotionally as well.
Miss Anna, what are you seeing this in your work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, regression is on my mind a lot. Anytime that there's a big disruption in students' routines and their educational services, especially for students in special education, they're going to lose some skills. I think it's important for parents to know it doesn't mean they can't recoup those skills. It's just a matter of how long it will take. And I feel like that the degree of regression is really going to be a determining factor in figuring out who will qualify for compensatory services in special education later down the line.
Ms. Anna, can I ask you, though, I would imagine, you know, I don't know this, but in your training, I'm guessing you probably didn't emphasize, you know, Zoom meetings or anything of that sort. You know, I'm guessing this is probably, so you probably had to learn all this for yourself, right?
Would that be fair? That,
what was that like?
That's been the biggest, I think, change for my style of teaching. One thing that's been nice about the distance education is that there are so many resources available, but it's been a huge learning curve for me to adapt the way that I'm used to instructing to these new sort of resources and tools, especially for children with pretty complex communication challenges. I'm used to reading their responses in multiple nonverbal ways. They might give me a gesture or a sign or physically move an object. It's harder to gauge a response like over the webcam than it would be when I'm in the classroom with them.
Sure. And Superintendent Stewart, what about you? I'm guessing that when you were planning your career, you didn't think about kids not being able to come to school at all. I'm sure there are times when there are breaks and, right, like there are disasters, things like that you don't anticipate, right? Flooding or extreme weather, but not for this amount of time.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
I was just thinking, what's been the biggest thing for you to have to regroup and wrap your head around?
Well, just the loss of the fourth quarter of the school year. You know, there have been times that we've missed, collectively up to about a month in snow days. But we're able to get back through the last couple, 3 months of the year and catch up and make up lost ground. But this time it happened so quickly that we weren't able to make good preparations. And we found out that we weren't prepared for this. And it's just been a real eye-opener. And, you know, it's going to teach us a lot of things that will have us a lot more ready to go next time if this kind of thing ever happens again.
We're going to need to take a very short break in just a few minutes, and I hope you're both going to stay with us. We're talking with our two teachers, a special ed teacher from the Washington, D.C. area, and a school superintendent from a rural school district in Missouri on the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I hope you'll stay with us.